The reading is taken from Psalm 20, chapter 23, verses 1 to 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength, he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. The Gospel reading from John chapter 21, verses 15 to 25. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you," Jesus said. "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This disciple is the one who testifies to these events and has recorded them here. And we know that his account of these things is accurate." Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, may these words be yours and not just mine. Amen. Good morning. Here's a question. How do we introduce our faith to small children? I think we know the answer. We tell them or read them stories from the Bible, don't we? And we don't just tell them the stories. We also get them to do costumed reenactments of the stories. The most popular of Bible stories by far would be the Nativity story at Christmas. I don't imagine there are that many people here who've never seen the Litleys doing the Nativity pageant. And we hope that they will imagine themselves as one of the characters in the story. Plenty of scope in the Nativity, obviously. They could be Joseph or Mary or one of the shepherds, one of the wise men, one of the angels, perhaps. And if there's too many of them to get any of those roles and they don't want to be left out, well, they can come onto the stage dressed as sheep or some other relevant animal. And the parents love it all and get videos of it on their phones. Now, that's good for the littlies, but what about us adults? We don't generally do costumed reenactments, but there's something we can do when we read a Bible passage, and that is to imagine ourselves as one of the characters in the story. And this technique has a very respectable pedigree, and I think it's a good way of getting close to the Bible and its meaning. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to imagine yourself in today's gospel story. The passage that we heard is about Jesus restoring Peter to his place in the team, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I want to widen the angle, if you like, and start a bit earlier in this story and talk about the whole episode, which I think of as Breakfast on the Beach. Breakfast on the Beach is a good story to imagine ourselves inside because it's vivid and it's got quite a lot of emotion. So let's set the scene. It's dawn, and dawn is a special time, a magical time, as anyone who's been to a dawn service would agree. I'm imagining a placid lake and a cool breeze, and the disciples are there back on the Sea of Galilee, fishing from a boat but not catching anything. And then there's this unknown man on the shore telling them to try dropping their nets on the other side of the boat. And suddenly they catch so many fish they can't even get them all in the boat. And at that moment, one of the disciples recognizes that it's actually Jesus talking to them. So the joy of reunion with Jesus is added to the joy of a great harvest of fish. Let's imagine a bulging net and then a scrunching noise as the boats are drawn up on the pebbles of the beach. We can imagine an open fire cooking fish for breakfast, smell those appetizing smells, and see in our mind's eye, after breakfast, Jesus taking Peter off for that private chat. And now let's choose four of the people in this scene and imagine it from the point of view of each of them in turn. And these four, the ones I have in mind, are Jesus, obviously, Peter, that's two, one of the disciples, that's three, and lastly, John, the author of the gospel himself. So if you're one of the other disciples, you're probably feeling a mixture of fear and excitement. Fear, yeah, because you're not sure that the authorities aren't still looking for you. Excitement, because the Jesus movement, the movement you have committed yourself to, hasn't just fizzled out with the crucifixion. You have seen the resurrected Jesus. Jesus is not quite as he was before, but he's still there. He's still leading you, and you can't take your eyes off him. It's wonderful to see him on the beach, to hear his voice again, and to feel that great things lie ahead. So it's a time of wonder and excitement for the future. Now we'll turn to Peter. Peter is one of the two principal characters that we heard about. At this point, he could possibly have been feeling a little bit uneasy and a sense of shame, because after all, he had been given a leading role in the movement when Jesus had said to him, "On this rock, I will build my church." But after that, Peter had let himself and he'd let the side down because he denied that he was even a follower of Jesus. So when Jesus takes him off for a private chat after breakfast, he may have been a little apprehensive about what Jesus was going to say. And indeed, it is something of an interrogation, because as we heard, Jesus asks him three times, "Peter, do you really love me?" Now, the effect of being asked that same question three times must have been intense and also painful. It would have reminded Peter that he had actually denied being a follower of Jesus three times. So each time, Peter emphatically repeats that he does indeed love Jesus. He's on board. He's a loyal follower. And to his great relief, Jesus restores Peter's confidence in himself and reaffirms Peter's task of leading the movement even to martyrdom. It's a direct charge, repeated three times, feed my lambs, then take care of my sheep, and after the last question, feed my sheep again. And we come to a bit that I find a little hard to interpret. It's when Peter asks Jesus about the disciple John. In verse 21, Peter sees John following them as they stroll along the beach, and he says, Lord, what about him? I think Peter is looking for a sign that his status with Jesus is absolutely clear. In other words, that he, Peter, is to be the leader of the disciples and not John. And that is actually how things played out through the rest of the New Testament period, because Peter was the most prominent leader in the early church. All right, so that was the two of them, wasn't it? Now we get to Jesus himself, who's the third person here. Jesus, for his part, he is really acting here and continuing to act as the shepherd of the flock. He will soon be leaving the flock behind so that they can receive the Holy Spirit and continue with God's work. And as the shepherd, Jesus, he wants the flock looked after and he wants the flock well led. Peter is still his chosen leader, but Peter is shaken and he needs to have his confidence restored. And Peter has his confidence restored, and Jesus encourages him again with the new renewed instruction, follow me. More than all this, I think Jesus is showing us today that our stumbles and our failures, like Peter's, will be forgiven. Jesus is teaching here, not just at the moment it happened, but for all time, that God's purpose continues regardless of our wayward behavior. And I think this is a theme that comes through again and again in the Bible. Prophets who tried to avoid doing what God wanted them to do, disciples who let the side down, and so on. But God's purpose is steady and unchanging. Jesus had chosen Peter originally because he knew that with God's help, Peter would go on to play a leading role. And now we come to our fourth participant, if you like, John, a writer of the gospel and also one who is mentioned in the story. Now, what strikes my interest, if you like, is the comment that John writes at the very, very end. He says that what he's been writing all through the gospel is only a part of what Jesus did in his time on earth. So there are many episodes, even many teachings perhaps, that we will never know about. And that's an intriguing thought in itself. But John goes on to say, nevertheless, we've been given all we need to know in order to believe that Jesus is the Christ. It's a very important bit, in other words, this bit about the reinstatement of Peter. I don't think John just chucked it in at the end to increase his word count. Coming at the very end of John's gospel as it does, it's sort of wrapping up a loose end and setting the stage for what is to follow. Peter is not a failed leader of the disciples after all. He's a restored one. Now, when we hear those words of Jesus to Peter, feed my sheep, I think it might trigger two reactions in our minds. And the first one we talk about feeding sheep, taking care of lambs, our first thought might be that our Christian community should provide the pastoral care and protection for people in the everyday physical sense. Because, after all, this is what Jesus had taught throughout his ministry. We can think of some of the more memorable of the parables, like the Good Samaritan. What happens there? In that parable, the man who fell among thieves didn't get a sermon. He got medical care, food, and a place to stay. That's the first thought we could have. The second one is that is a reminder to ourselves that even with all that, man does not live by bread alone. I don't think there's any point to the Jesus movement if the Word of God is not being spread, connecting people with God through faith in Jesus and strengthening the faith of those already converted. So the commandment, feed my sheep, is as much about bringing God's word to minds and souls, and it is about, as it is about looking after each other. In other words, evangelizing and teaching. So today I'm inviting you to take away the thought that that same command, feed my sheep, which was given to Peter on that beach in Galilee on that morning long ago, is really for us too. We're all commanded to play our part in one way or another in feeding God's sheep. Amen.
Thank you very much, Paul. I'd like to invite the band to come back and lead us in a response song. Please do stand.
I'm